Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring me and Jen.
Jen and Joe show. We're back again, bringing you ghosty things.
We are in the studio, and this weird light is coming through the window.
It's so warm out today. Finally.
It's, yeah.
Finally.
I asked Jen, I'm like, you want to record outside, but it's windy. So yeah. We can't.
You guys hear this in the microphone. Okay.
I had a weird thing happen to me. I had
a
dream.
Us.
Well, you know, all my dreams are weird.
Yeah.
But I actually had a dream where I was very annoyed in the dream. All these things were happening. And I was in this giant room, like a warehouse type room, laying in my bed on my, let's say it'd be the left side.
Okay.
And I actually felt someone sit down on the bed. And when I say I felt someone sit on the bed, physically, I felt it. It was in my dream, but I popped up wide awake within a millisecond and spun around because I felt someone sitting on my bed.
That is interesting. I mean, just think of like, yeah, you may be having a dream or something, but to physically feel something, your body senses that.
Yeah. And that's, and you know, we've mentioned before how your dream is you're like in a coma, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to snap out that fast and literally flip over.
Your stalker's under your bed. You should go check right now.
Oh, yeah. Probably hungry.
It comes out after you leave for work or she comes out and raids your fridge and you come home and you're like, dang, I thought I had some chicken in here.
Yeah. All my vodka's gone. Oh.
You don't drink. But it's funny you say that because, like, you know, Joe and I have been traveling. You guys probably heard us, you know, coming to you from many different locations. And I haven't been home to have any paranormal experiences in my house. Maybe the ghost came over to your house because I haven't been home.
That's possible.
I'm losing my voice today. I've been on the horn all day.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, Joe.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to talk to an amazing, awesome and amazing woman. Who was a psychic?
Psychic Victoria Kempkin. She is a clairvoyant and medium. And she said that she had these natural it's going to be one of those shows today. Natural psychic abilities from an early age. And her parents are very supportive.
That's interesting.
Of her abilities.
I remember in an interview she mentioned that. And you don't get that often. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, we hear about that with the mediums and all that, they always say, yeah, I've had it at an early age, but it was always like either sheltered or shunned.
Mm-hmm. I think she had mentioned that both her parents had psychic abilities. Okay. So that's interesting. Like if two people come together and they get married and they have psychic abilities, do all of their children have it? Does it pass down?
The parents give the chromosomes.
It's true.
I can teach you all about that with pharmacogenetics.
Oh no, I'm good. I'm good. I have enough in my brain today. But
get one chromosome from your each parent.
So she said in her early 20s, Victoria started her journey by first providing tarot card readings to interested folks in local bars and coffee houses in Cleveland. She has been doing this for over 25 years.
Yeah.
She has interacted with clients from all walks of life. She talks about that in the interview. Mm-hmm. You guys will hear. It's very interesting who she's read. You know, she's read everybody from a homeless person to some of the wealthiest people.
It's funny because in the interview when we were talking to her and she started mentioning about the places that she does readings, I was like, what?
Yeah, you guys will be interested to hear that. So she likes to engage with people from all walks of life, whatever level they're on, and help them to find their path without judgment.
Yeah.
It was an interesting interview. I think everybody will really enjoy.
You're definitely going to enjoy the interview.
What she has to say.
Yeah. So without any further ado, now I do have some class announcements after the So
stay
tuned for some announcements after the interview, and we'll be right back.
And today we have a very special guest in the house. We have Victoria Kempkin with us. Welcome to the show, Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Victoria, we are here at the 2018 St. Joseph's Paranormal Fair and Convention, or however you want to say it. It's been a long day. Tell us a little bit about why you're here, what you do, and a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I actually live about 2 minutes away from this fair.
Oh, nice.
So when I saw it go up, I was like, yeah, it really is. So I was like, psychic right around the corner. Yay. Yes. Okay. So I am here doing readings, and I am here with my friend who's with Free Spirit Healer, who sells gemstones. And I was with the Ghost Walk three times today.
Great.
Oh. And saw a lot of interesting things and felt a lot of interesting things. And then I just did a talk called Ask a Psychic.
Oh.
About what it's like to be a psychic from the age of 11 to 45 and all the things that entails, and what makes a good psychic and what makes a good psychic reading.
Okay.
So
tell us everything.
Yes. We are so fascinated by this. How did it all get started for you?
The best way I can describe it is I was blessed with parents who knew they didn't know it all. So when we were kids exploring things and we came across this to explore, it wasn't like taken away from us. Mm-hmm. There was no religious context. It wasn't anything like that. On top of it, my mother was very psychic, as well as my father, although he doesn't do all. He's 88 ex-Marine. He don't do this. Okay. So it was like it was almost encouraged. Mm-hmm. By the age of 8, I had my first experience. Although I think I was having experiences before then, but it's really the one that stands out to me the most, or first, I should say. And it just kind of went from there, from 8 to my first 20-ish doing professional readings in drag bars and Irish bars in Cleveland.
Nice.
So,
awesome. Love it. Let's go right now.
What was the biggest challenge that you've came across that you need to overcome when you...
People not taking you seriously.
Okay.
You know, and I just spoke about this. It's that my dream is to make this so mainstream that a child can say, I want to be a psychic when I grow up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it'd be like, oh, okay. I know it'll still be sort of like, I want to be a musician, or I want, you know, that kind of little bit out there, but not so much so that it's like, no, let's get her blessed. Yeah. Let's dunk her into holy water, you know? So, yeah, I think that would be the ultimate, to see a psychic on every corner, but treated with respect, being able to bank their money, being able to pay taxes, being able to be contributing members of society without scorn.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still people that believe that chiropractors are quacks, but yet they get to practice.
Yeah.
So I still feel like the same way with us. And yeah, there's some bad apples in our industry. And guess what? In every single other industry, there's some bad apples.
Yeah. Sure.
So therefore, all of us shouldn't be penalized for maybe 10%, and we are. There are still laws in some states where psychics are illegal to practice their craft.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Minnesota, Missouri, there's counties in Florida. I mean, definitely Utah.
Yeah.
There's some places, I think, pretty much out west, in places that you would normally think that there would be, but there are. And it's because a lot of times you'll have a judge or a little county prosecutor or a counsel who's a little bit more on the traditional side, shall we say, who say, I don't want this, I don't believe in it. And so they write into law. And in Michigan, there are places, there's a county that you have to pay $5,000 to get a psychic bond.
Wow.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. And when I was starting out at 21 with two kids, I would have never been able to pay that.
No, not at all.
So they're you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're keeping, and what does that mean? I have a bond. I'm going to be right.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Blows my mind.
Look at my piece of paper. I know everything.
Right. So.
And you don't go into your doctor's office and say, "Where did you study?"
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was something that I said to my talk. I said, beware of the psychics that say, oh, I have this degree and that degree. Listen, Hogwarts don't exist, okay? Right. You know, none of us went to Yale to learn this. This is this is intuitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a question, and it totally flabbergasted me because I do this. I did this long talk about everything that I'm doing, and the guy goes, "Well, how do you do it?" and I said, and I was like, and I didn't have a good answer. But after, of course, you know, you always have a good answer after you leave. And I was like, "How do you fall in love?"
Mm-hmm.
That's the same answer.
Yeah.
You, I don't know. I don't know how I fell in love with such and such, but I did.
Yeah.
And that is exactly the same thing. I don't know how it, but I can't measure it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's the same thing. It, basically, it's the same thing. It's intuitive. It's in our, it's in our gut, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's basically that. I mean, people say, well, how can I do it? You already have been doing it for years.
Yes. We hear that all the time. You know, we talk to a few psychics and mediums, and one of the big things I notice is most of them say they're born with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they did learn it, they say, well, I've always had a feeling, and it's just bringing that feeling out.
Yeah.
And with this, with you just saying that we all have the ability, it's, you need to be open to it.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sorry. What I say is that, being a Cleveland girl, LeBron James gets up every morning at 4 a.m. and he does either drills, watches videos, or, I mean, works out every morning. He's been doing it since he was 9 years old. That's why he gets an enormous amount of money to do his craft.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I get up and do readings every single day. I mean, for 25 years, whether it's on my birthday, Christmas, my kid's birthday. I mean, somebody calls me and is like in panic mode. And so there's no difference. So my psychic muscle is extremely well honed. Other muscles, not so much. But that is. And that's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big mystery. I do it. So if somebody wants to be psychic, first of all, I mean, the name of my book is Everybody's Psychic. I just get paid for it.
Okay.
You already are. You already are psychic. You just have to say, I'm going to trust my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm wrong, so what?
Yeah.
Don't tell everybody. Don't be like, well, I had this intuition and I was wrong. So, you know, just trust your intuition and keep doing it. And there's books and there's websites. Obviously, there's Google to like fine tune things. But at the beginning of it, it's just trusting, going, oh, I met this guy and he gave me the creeps. But he's gonna take me out to dinner.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Buy your own dinner, girls. It ain't worth the trouble or the stress.
You know, don't. Yeah. You know, like.
A man comes up to you and says, "Yo, baby, come
on." Joe, that's your line.
I know.
Quit using it. Tell us about what's the most exciting or rewarding thing about what you do.
The most rewarding thing is literally connecting with someone, and I don't care if it's a celebrity or if it is, let me give you an example.
Okay.
I grew up in Cleveland and used to ride the bus sometimes, and I'm at a bus stop and I actually had went and bought crystals, and there was this man and he's talking, you could tell he was a homeless man, but you know, whatever. And he's like, well, what do you do? And I'm, you know, and saying the word I'm a professional psychic is something that took me years to be able to say with any type of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, I read those cards, you know, because I'm just thinking he's going to leave. And he gave me his last $5 so I would read his cards.
Oh.
And you know something? People have often said to me, why did you take this man's money? I said, because he needed the dignity to be able to do it. And I was able to help him, even in that little small way. I don't even remember what the reading was. I'm sure it was something extremely vague because, I mean, I didn't really, you know, I'm in the middle of a bus shelter, okay? You know what I mean? But at the same time, that was something that was incredibly rewarding, that I was able to connect with him and he was able to have the dignity to do that and was interested and didn't poo-poo me because, you know, like, he's homeless and I'm a psychic. So, I mean, we're both kind of in that underdog boat together. So that was a really great experience.
It sounds, and see, you were put in that situation for a reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like, do you have like spirit guides that help you, or how do you, how does it work for you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lot of guides and teachers, both in the spirit world and, in the mundane, and I just kind of refer to them as my posse. I mean, okay. You know, I'm an 80s girl, so, you know, it's like, okay, well, is it a spirit guide? Is it a guardian angel? I mean, occasionally I will specifically, you know, I might call on something very specific. Like when I went into St. Joe's, mm-hmm. I had St. Michael riding with me and St. George riding with me because they are protectors. And so I'm going into a haunted hospital. I'm going to take some stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Put the shields up.
Put the shields up. But yeah. So, but that I needed protection. Mm-hmm. So that's a specific. But I mean, I don't think we are ego and label based. They're mm-hmm. not.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're like, well, no, this is a dream angel versus a guardian angel versus. You know, that's ego. That's us needing to define things that are not really, they don't need all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of like when the question of naming them comes up, because we've had that discussion many times. You know, what do you name your guardian angel or that?
I've never done that. And I've never.
A lot of people say that, well, they don't understand, or I shouldn't say understand, but they don't label themselves.
Right.
So either one, you can call them whatever you want, or just call on them.
Right. If I want a particular energy, I may, you know, do that. One of the things is that, you know, if you've ever been in a near miss, every time I'm ever in a near miss I lost a bunch of money one time and I'm having a really bad day, and then I found it and I'm like, thank you, angels. Mm-hmm. That covers
exactly.
Everybody. It
yeah.
just covers
mm-hmm.
everybody. I don't have to start. I mean, I'm going to be making lists here.
Yeah.
You know?
Saint Anthony, the finder of lost things. Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Saint Lucy for I.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, like, you know, one day I was having a bad day and I mean, I know red means stop, but yet I didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I go through a red light and I was fine. I was perfectly fine. And I'm like, thank you, angels, for, you know, dealing with my stupidity of not realizing what red means.
But you never know. That car behind you could have not stopped.
Exactly.
And your angel just said, go through. It's okay.
Yeah. I had a an incident. Like, if there was ever a time I didn't believe, and I've always believed, but I was in a car, dead stop, and there was nobody behind me, and I was trying to learn French. I was on this kick. I'm going to learn French. And I'm listening to this tape, and I cannot figure out what her enunciation is. So I keep hitting rewind and trying to listen. Finally, I put my foot on the gas, like just tapped it. And, I mean, I the car didn't even move. And there was this truck that blew the light. And if I had not done that.
Yes.
I would be standing. There's no way. I mean, he was flying mm-hmm. and he was beeping and I didn't hear it. And so at that moment, it was like, you just got saved.
Yeah.
So if there was ever a moment I didn't believe, that was my moment that I believe from now on.
Definitely. Yeah. We have. And instances like that too. You know, it's like, you just know that somebody over there is looking out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here now for a reason and a purpose, you know?
I had a really great message from one of the spirits at St. Joe's. He was a mortician, and so a funeral director, and so he would go in there and pick up bodies. I mean, remains mm-hmm. over and over and over and over and over, just because that's his job. And they didn't have transport, I think, when he was doing his thing. And he's not a real happy spirit, to be honest. And he told me, you're going to say this exactly. And I'm like, oh, okay. He said, don't worry about the dead. Don't worry about us. We take care of ourselves. We take care of each other. Worry about you guys.
Yeah.
You're the ones not doing what you want. You're the ones making excuses. And I was like, okie dokie.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
About yeah, this. I mean, really, and, you know, and yeah. I was like, wow, that's pretty profound. And I was like, he's like, we take care of each other. We always have. And the other thing that he told me, and I mean, and I know this, and obviously we all do, but he's like, I'm standing in a morgue. And he's like, you're all going to get here. So,
sooner or later,
somebody's going to prepare your body. Somebody's going to be doing what, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, so basically life is for the living. Get busy doing it.
That's right. We say that all the time. You know, life is so short. Live your life. Get off the couch.
Get off Facebook.
Get outside. Yeah. No, don't say that. Did you say that out loud?
I know.
No, but get out and do stuff. Life's
too
short.
One of the questions that I ask people, I feel like, you know, I think I'm going to actually write a book with the title of this. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And I have so many women that when I say to them, what do you want? Mm-hmm. They look at me with this blank stare because they have no idea what they actually want. I mean, they know what society tells them they want. You know, they want the handsome husband and they want the house. And I say, no. What do you want? Yeah. And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, let's start with what you don't want.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I'm thinking, how are you going to ever have what you want if you don't even know what the heck that is?
Right. And, you know, a lot of times they're afraid of what other people will think.
Mm-hmm. So like, I think that goes back to get busy with, you know, right. with living, because who cares?
You're right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So your ability, you are able to sense or connect people with people from the other side?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes. And this is what I tell people. People say, well, can you come over and do mediumship? Maybe.
Okay.
I can't tell you Uncle Joe's going to come over and tell you where the millions are buried in the backyard. Right. Can't do it. Not going to do it. They're going to come. Maybe Uncle Joe don't like you. Maybe Uncle Joe don't like me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I can't, you know, I have some clients who are like, but I want to talk to my husband. I need to. I love him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're getting into, like, some needy, desperate, no. So I can, and they do come through to me, but there's no guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's literally, and so I get, like, a little irritated with other psychics who are like, oh, I'm a medium, and that's all they do.
Okay.
Because I know that you cannot guarantee it. I mean, I can't guarantee that I'm going to walk out here and talk to my sister who I know sitting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can't guarantee stuff. So, and people who are a lot of times coming to you for mediumship, they are in a desperate place. And, yeah, you got to be real careful with that. So
they're raw. Emotions are raw.
Emotions are raw. Yeah. And they will cling. I mean, I've had people who've become addicted. I mean, very much addicted to psychics.
Yeah.
I had a woman call me. I was on a new psychic line. And she called me every day for a month. Every single day. And finally, I called the boss and I said, listen, if you're still testing me, you got to let me know. I mean, if I'm not, you know, if I'm not your material, that's cool. And he goes, what are you talking about? I go, such and such has called me every day. And she asked me the exact same questions. He's like, that's because nobody else will talk to her. So
poor
I was like,
oh.
Right.
So your next piece of advice was, get on a dating site. No.
Right.
Yeah. Have you ever had anybody ask you to do something that you weren't comfortable with?
I've had people who I won't read for.
Okay.
There was a young man that was sort of just around my circle, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mostly my sister. I have two sisters, one younger, one older. And he was around my younger sister's circle, and he kept like wanting a reading. And she's like, oh, you should give him a reading, you know, be popular or whatever. And I'm like, I don't feel good, or, you know, I got to get these dishes done. And I didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to do it. And then later, like a couple days later, he was on the news. He had been involved in hurting somebody very, very badly.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, see, follow your vibe,
yep.
you know, practice what you preach, mm-hmm. and see, this is what's happened. So if I don't vibe with somebody, and this is what I said in the talk, there's 7.3 billion people on planet Earth. I cannot read, nor would I want to read for all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're people I don't vibe with. I mean, you know, they're murderers and rapists and child, you know, who wants to read for them?
Yeah.
And so you have to think about the whole world, not just, you know, our little corner of it. So, you know, you're not going to vibe with everyone.
Another thing I was thinking of when you were speaking earlier was, you think about, okay, let's say you did a reading for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked for, you know, bring back Uncle Charlie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's so many spirits out there that I guess I'm getting at is if...
How do I know it's the right Uncle
that,
Charlie?
If people believe in like reincarnation mm-hmm. or that, and they say that spirits, we come on this earth,
mm-hmm.
we live our life, and then we go back up
mm-hmm.
into the realm or heaven
okay,
or whatever
okay.
people believe. Well, that Uncle Charlie could have been 80 or 90 or 1,000 different people.
Right.
So if you're asking for someone, how do you know that you get the right spirit?
I think that you just sort of I think, again, it's intuitive. You connect with. Okay. A lot of times you'll get physical characteristics. When I've done one, I'll be like, I'm asthmatic, so okay. I really don't like it when people smoke around me. So I was doing a reading, and I'm like smelling the most putrid cigar smoke, and I'm like, I'm getting cigar smoke, and I'm getting sick. So you need to open up a window here. And they don't have a window on the other side. Yeah. And they're like, oh, that's my dad. Okay. And it was like, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. Sometimes you get physical characteristics of that person. For me, if I don't get some type of physical, then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to continue with the reading because I'm not real sure.
Okay.
And I don't want to give anybody false hope or false information. Mm-hmm. So, I can say, if somebody's blonde or a lot of times it'll be actually their character. Like, this person was really a hard worker or lazy or, didn't like cats or something like that. So I'll get usually that more so than complete physical, more of their personality.
Okay. Yeah.
So do you also do just instead of just connecting with people's loved ones, are you able to give readings that gives advice for the individual itself, like maybe next Tuesday you should
just a regular psychic reading. That's pretty much I would say about 85% of my business.
Does it physically drain you
absolutely.
To do this?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you revive yourself?
So when I first started out, my mother, the very wise woman that she was, and I was doing, like I said, the drag bars and the Irish bars and all of that, which is definitely hard way to go.
Yeah.
I would come home and I would be I would just be dead. And she would start giving me pretzels. And she'd be like, have some pretzels. And it's because salt is very grounding. So immediately... you want to start grounding. You want to, like some people use stones or whatever. So it's eating, it's exercise. I mean, it's all the stuff that you do that mm-hmm. you're supposed to do, not having, cheesecake milkshake. What is that?
Use one right now.
Right, exactly. It's kind of keeping up and keeping yourself healthy and mm-hmm. also not, there are parties that I've done and it'll be like, okay, so I'm supposed to have 10 people. And 22 will show up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel bad, but I can't do. And when I was younger, I was much more. No, I'll push it, because we have so much to prove. That we're professionals. Yeah. So you're like, no. And then like the next day, I would have migraines and be so sick. Yeah. So it only took me 20 years to figure out not to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can be extremely physically draining.
Okay.
And being. It's like medium in that you really want to help others, and it's hard not to say no.
It is.
You really have to kick yourself in the butt and say no.
Yeah.
But that comes with maturity and age, too. Being comfortable with saying no to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to at some point have some self-preservation.
Right.
And say, you can't overextend yourself. You just can't. And not just a psychic mm-hmm. or a medium. In life in general, there's just times it's okay to say no.
Absolutely. I've had people, be so angry that I charge. That was, I haven't had that in about 10 years, but how dare you charge?
Yeah.
And
make
I'm
a
like,
living.
And I
gotta pay the light bills.
Yeah. And I was like, there's like this part of me that was like, well, maybe I shouldn't, because of course, we all like, have doubt about herself, and it was like, this is a gift from God. And like I said, my father, who's very manly man and doesn't do this, he's like, Frank Sinatra charged.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked at him, and he goes, he used his gift, he made people happy, he did, it's a talent.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I got permission from my dad. I can charge.
That's right.
Exactly.
And that goes back to the same thing we were saying earlier about how people get offended when a medium charges people and they're like, well, you're in it for the money. No, we're not. It's just like photography or anything.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a profession.
And if you're out there in parties doing it for free, hello, you may not be a real psych.
You may not be a real psychic, or you are not ever going to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Because we value money in the society. Mm-hmm. And so what you place your value on, I mean, it's sort of like if you value it enough to pay for it, you'll probably listen to the person or be respectful. Whereas if somebody's doing it for free, it's like, oh, well, you know, kind of whatever, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that's another reason. Even if somebody's just doing a $5 reading, I'm like, charge $5 because your time is not infinite. And, you know, I mean, your time is not forever.
Yeah.
And you deserve to be valued. Even if it's a $5 for 5 minute reading, you deserve to be valued. And if you don't value you, believe me, they're not.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't have any problem charging anymore.
Yeah. It's like writing a book. People say, oh, I want to write a book too. Well, go out and do it. See how hard it is, people. It is not as easy as people, you know, to do.
It's not.
Like, and then for people to, I find doing shows, you're charging $10 for a book. But yeah, this is my labor. This is my child. I birthed this book.
Right.
You should pay for it, you know?
Absolutely. I completely agree as an author myself.
Don't you feel like writing a book is like birthing a child?
It absolutely is. And the first year after the book is like having a one-year-old.
Yes.
It really is because
you're very protective.
You're very protective. At the same time, you're like, you're both learning. You know what I'm saying? You're like learning to be a marketer. Mm-hmm. You're learning to now just sort of put it out into the world.
Right.
It's out here. You've given birth. Now it's out here. Mm-hmm. And you have
to protect it.
And you want to protect it. And you know,
from the bad comments, you know, on Amazon.
Right. Exactly.
Which you can't delete.
Right. So, yeah, it really is like, in a way, a little, very much like being a mother. Yeah. And you're like, okay, and I'm learning and I'm learning and I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm doing this. And okay, we're going to take the next step.
But, you know, like, when you do write a book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, it's a part of you. You put your heart and soul into it, and then you send it out into the world. And when people try to stomp on it, it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
You know, like, you didn't like my character. He's so hot.
No, I actually have been through that with, and as much as I love the metaphysical world, and I do, there was some jealousy when I wrote my book, and I was completely unprepared for it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people say, I want to write a book, and it's like, well, go do it. And then you did it. And so you are a reflection of what they haven't got off their butt and done yet.
Exactly.
So now they're mad at you. Mm-hmm. Right. It has nothing to do with the book.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with the book, the quality of it, or it, whether it's good or bad.
Or they want you to write it. Or no.
Yeah.
I'm hard enough time doing mine.
Yeah.
That's like me sitting down at your booth going, well, while you're on break, I'll do your readings for you.
You know?
Tell us a little bit about the book, what it's about.
So the book is called Everybody's Psychic, I Just Get Paid For It. And it's about my journey from being an 8-year-old child with my first psychic experience, like I said, that I can actually remember, all the way to reading my first professional read at about the age of 20-ish, which was sitting at a coffee shop doing my little readings with my candle and my sign and my cards, and a 6'3" drag queen sat down. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't have a lot of drag queens come over for dinner, so this was a new experience. And so I just connected. I just started reading. I forgot about all the makeup and the hair, and this is a man, this is a, you know, I mean?
Yeah.
And I just connected to reading in Irish bars. Again, try to read for an Irish fireman.
Ooh, I'd like to find a couple of those.
Yeah. These are like grandpa types.
No, not so much.
To the psychic lines, which is the ugly stepchild of the psychic world.
Mm-hmm.
To parties, and then kind of like, here I am, world, this is what I've done. Mm-hmm. And of course, because my editor said this is, I think, something that you need to do, is put in some stories about like celebrities that I've read for, which is fine. I mean, you know, I mean, they're people too. They have problems and readings too. I mean, you know, needs too. But my favorite client is the person that actually listens to me, and so that's not always true. I mean, a few times, but that's not always true with celebrities. So, yeah, to kind of where I'm at now. So I'm working on book number 2. But Everybody's Psychic, I Just Get Paid For It is my third. I have 2 children, my third baby.
Do your children have any abilities?
Yes, both of my children have abilities. My son is a chef, in Michigan, and my daughter is going to school for accounting. And you know, they've seen me struggle. Mm-hmm. They've seen me disrespected. They have seen me shunned. I mean,
yeah.
And so it's not a life for them. And I wouldn't, to be honest, until we're to that place where it's okay for everybody to be, I wouldn't want to put them through it.
Yeah.
They've seen me ripped off, you know, go to a party and nobody show up and all, you know. So, but as far as their abilities, absolutely. Because they definitely follow their intuition. Now, they don't read cards, but they follow their intuition. And, you know, they'll call me and go, I think this is what I'm feeling, but I'm not sure. And I'm like, if it's what you're feeling, it's what you're feeling. Yeah. You know? But sometimes I don't know if that's mom or psychic or, you know, yeah. It all gets kind of, you know,
blended
together. Exactly.
That's cool. So tell everybody where they can get your book.
So I'm on Amazon.
Okay.
I'm on Goodreads. I am in a couple of the local metaphysical stores. And they can also get it at victoriakempton.com. And they can get an autographed copy if they buy it through there.
Oh, great.
So, amazing. Yeah.
And we'll put all the information in the show notes.
Thank you.
Also, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
We all need to connect with everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have an author's page that's a little neglected on Facebook. So they can get it on there as well.
Great. But really appreciate you just taking the time to come and tell us about your book and yourself, mm-hmm. and you taught us things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the most important thing is be able to learn something from, you know, coming to a conference or a paranormal fair like this. There's a wealth of knowledge there, and you just have to be open to talking to people to get it.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, what did you guys think?
Send us an email. Let us know what you think. I think by far this is one of the best interviews we've had with the psychic medium so far.
I beg to differ. I think Melinda was pretty good because she gave me a free reading. But I started reading her book.
Okay.
We swapped books. She got a copy of mine and I got a copy of hers, which I love to do. And it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really easy read. You know, it's not too in depth.
So I could read it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it captures your attention.
Okay.
So, like, I couldn't put it down last night. I was like, I wanted to read more, but I was just so tired. It was 11:30. I'm like, I have to go to bed. Got to work in the morning. But, it is an interesting. I'm really excited to read the rest of it. So, you can check it out on her website. We did go to her website. She's got a calendar on there.
Yeah.
And you can book a reading through her website. So
it's pretty in-depth. It's a great website.
Yeah. So,
and that'll be in the show. Look down in the show notes. We'll link it up there.
Yep. Told you, you got some stuff for us.
Yeah, a few things before we close out the show. There's a couple events that we're going to that we really want to mention. I know you guys have been hearing about this one for a while. It's the Michigan Ghost Coast Paranormal Convention. And that is June 29th and 30th at the Grand Haven, Michigan.
Yeah, I've never been to Grand Haven.
I hear it's beautiful.
I am excited to go.
So that's the Michigan Ghost Coast Paranormal Convention. Look that up on Facebook.
It'll be a perfect time to travel. It'll be June. It'll be warm. You know, Michigan's beautiful at that time of year. You don't have to worry about snowstorms.
You're right on the lake, too.
Yes, very pretty.
They got a beautiful beach. Yeah. I keep saying beautiful. They have a beautiful beach.
Joe, you're so fun.
Another one show that we're going to be at. And we want to talk about, and we'll get you some more information in a little bit about this one, is the Michigan UFO Contact.
Ooh.
And this one is a UFO-based show. They're going to have some great speakers.
Yeah.
Steve Ward, which we have an interview coming up here in a couple of weeks with. He's a Bigfoot and Mothman
and UFO
researcher.
And UFO.
Yeah.
No, we talked to him. He's a great speaker. He's really engaging. You guys will love it. He's got a ton of information to give to you guys at this. Who else is going to be there?
Nick Redfern's going to be there.
Oh, I stalk him on Twitter. I hope he's listening right now. Hi, Nick.
Erica Lukes is going to be there. She's going to be speaking. Our buddy John Tenney is going to be there.
He's weird, but we love it.
Bill Konkoleski is going to be there.
All right.
Our good friend Andrea Perrone is going to be there.
Oh,
she is awesome.
She gives the best hugs.
This is being put on by Deb and RJ DeRoss, who are awesome.
Yes, they're so much fun.
But that's going to be in Holt Lake, Michigan on September 21st and 22nd. And we'll get you some more info as it gets closer.
Yeah, if you get a chance, come out and see us. Mm-hmm. All those speakers are amazing. There'll be psychics. There'll be us. We'll have some special cool stuff that you guys can check out. And if you have...
There may even be an alien there.
There may be. Yeah. May make an appearance.
First one is Michigan Ghost Coast. We're going to have a show about that and give you all the information.
You cannot talk today.
We're going to have a show about that and give you all the information that we can, and it's going to be cool.
Yeah, so come cool. out and see us.
It's in Grand Haven, Michigan, which is a super cool place.
All of Michigan is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you guys are from different parts of the country or out of the United States, but Ohio, Michigan, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right, well.
Good place to visit. Lots of haunted stuff.
I hope you guys
stuff.
Enjoyed the interview, and do us a favor. If this show brings any kind of enjoyment or happiness to your life, please share it away. Share it with all your friends. Show them and tell Alexa to play our show.
And don't forget, you can support the show. Go to our GoFundMe and just type in 222 Paranormal Podcast. Any help will be appreciated. Even if you can give a dollar.
Yeah,
instead of buying that candy bar, just give it to us.
I forgot that we had that. Yeah, I should announce
so
that.
So we can bring you more and exciting content.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.